Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, and I'm joined, as usual, by Mr. Jeffries on my left, Mr. Rob Gardner's on my right, and Marty Sparks lighting up the dark from the screening room. And we're excited to offer today's edition of the Hamilton Corner. Most of you are making that transition right now from your part-time work, your part-time jobs, to your full-time jobs. You know, I'm thinking I might need to put that on a t-shirt or something. Yeah. You guys let me know if you'd like some full-time job paraphernalia. Let me know. Thinking about some things over here. But most of you are making that transition from your part-time job where you generate an income for your family. Most of us do that outside of our homes. I know some of you are doing it in reverse order, but you're making that transition, the majority of us, to your full-time job. That is what you attend to in your home. I describe it in this way because if you search the scripture, you will find that the first institution that God created was the family. Before there was a monarchy, before there was an order of priests, before there was an order of prophets, before there was even the age of the church, the first institution, before there was government, the first institution God created was the family. The first command that God ever gave, it was uttered within the context of the family. And as I say repeatedly, the Lord could have done it and recorded it for us however he chose to, but he specifically recorded in an effort to convey anthropological history as well as theological truth. And it is incumbent upon us to view family the way that God views family. So when you are going home, you're not just going home. You're in the ministry. You're in the ministry. So I want to encourage you that as you make that transition, do so with full intentionality and the full understanding of what it is exactly that you're doing. You know, one of the things that I chew on daily is that the Bible describes children as his heritage. You know, my children aren't my property. I get the blessed privilege to steward them for a season. But the Bible says they're the heritage of the Lord. I want to be able to have a good answer when the Lord asks me, hey, what did you do with my heritage? You know? So I just want to encourage you. I'm telling you. And I know I do this because it's almost like a spiritual and theological antibiotic, you know, to inoculate you from the world's perception of family. The reason why things like abortion are celebrated in our culture because people perceive children and perceive family as being an impediment, generally speaking, an impediment to them fulfilling their dreams. Or they view family as an accessory to them living their best lives. That's why when most people talk about, I'm getting into something, I'm about to get in trouble right now. But that's when a lot of people talk about marriage, they think about what marriage will do for them. They don't think about marriage as in terms of what they will do for their spouse. They think about marriage in terms of how it would make me feel, how I will be fulfilled. I was talking to a brother that I know. I said, man, one of the best things God ever created for sanctification is marriage. Marriage is meant to kill you. The flesh, that is. That's why the Lord says husbands are to love our wives and give ourselves for them. What's the model? As Christ gave himself for the church. What did he do? He laid his life down for the sake of his bride. Some of y'all are getting mad at me right now. And then all the wives saying, preach, Abe. I'm just telling you. So I describe family as your full-time job because what you do for a living, you do that on a part-time basis. I'm not talking about in terms of your work hourly schedule. I'm talking about on your full-time, full understanding of what you do with your time. You generate an income for your family on a part-time basis. But with full-time husbands and fathers, wives and mothers, you know, sons and daughters, that is a full-time engagement. But we need to view it. We need to see it the way that God does. I didn't even plan it this way, but that kind of fits in what I'm going to talk about next. 1 Timothy chapter 5 is where we're going to go. 1 Timothy chapter 5 is how we're going to start the program off today. Verses 1 through 8 is where we are going to begin. This is Paul's epistle to young Timothy. And this is actually a part of his instructions to Timothy as to how he should lead the church that he is serving as a shepherd. And the verse 1 begins this way. Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity. Yeah, this is to verse 8. In all purity. Honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them, the children or grandchildren, first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return or some requite. I like how the King James says that. Some requite to their parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel or worse than an unbeliever. And I've been thinking about this all day long. I've just been thinking about this. Because when we consider the scriptures, and I was talking to my wife about this last night and thinking about the responsibility we have as parents to evangelize and to disciple our children. I was thinking, man, how gravely we suffer when we either, one, are ignorant as to what the Word of God teaches, or we are rebellious as to what the Word of God teaches. So much of what we suffer in modern society is a direct result a failure to apply the Word of God to our lives. You know, when you see a scripture like this, when the Bible says, when the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul says right at verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for members of his own household, he has denied the faith. That is a grave, grave rebuke. And this includes natural provision, financial provision, yes. But can I tell you, this also includes spiritual resources, spiritual provision. You know, it is not the church's responsibility, the youth ministry's responsibility, the youth pastor's responsibility to disciple our children. It's not. At best, their role is to be supplementary to what we as parents do primarily. And the unfortunate reality is that all too often, the world understands this better than us. I'm going to read a quote for you from Charles Francis Potter. And this is not a quote from the 21st century. This is from 1933. Actually, 1930. This is a quote that was published. I mean, he had the audacity to put this in print in a publication called Humanism, A New Religion. Mm-hmm. Charles Potter is a signer of the First Humanist Manifesto, and he also was the founder of the First Humanist Society of New York. You want to know what he said? In 1930, Charles Francis Potter said this. Education is thus a most powerful ally of humanism. And every American school is a school of humanism. Now, just stop for a second. Stop for a second. This is not Abe's opinion. Charles Francis Potter said this in 1930. That's 90 years ago. He said every American school, every, without exception, is what Charles Francis Potter said. Every American school is a school of humanism. School of humanism. Now, why did he say that? He explains it why. He goes on. What can theistic Sunday schools, meeting for an hour once a week and teaching only a fraction of the children, do to stem the tide of the five-day program of humanistic teaching? Now, some people get upset with me when I say things about the impact that the government education system is having on the spiritual formation or the lack thereof of our nation. But this is not a recent phenomenon. In 1930, Charles Potter said this. In 1930, and what was his main thesis? Now, he didn't quote the Bible, but the most fundamental component, the most necessary component of discipleship formation is time. The main reason that Charles Francis Potter ascribed humanistic agency to the American education system was for no reason other than time. He said that the American educational system exists to capture the minds and attention of the children away from God for the majority of their lives' existence. Was he wrong? Was he wrong? And before you answer the question and think I'm just talking about, oh, this happened under the Obama administration, he said this in 1930. In 1930. Now, when you think about, you know, and I've said this in other places, when people talk about the cultural decline, culture doesn't decline by osmosis. It is people who are changing their views and perspectives on things. So then we must ask, how and why are these views changing? Can I tell you something? When you outsource your responsibilities, and this is something I'm going to get to later on, when you outsource a particular objective, you can no longer control the ingredients that are involved in the individual, in the particular objective. I experienced this. This is just a crude, natural example. So I made some decisions and some adjustments in the way I eat. I've pretty much eliminated sugar from my consumption habits. And when I'm at home, I can control what ingredients go in my food. But eliminating the consumption of that white devil sugar, refined sugar, it's more difficult when I go out to eat. There have been times I've experienced an advertisement that says this is sugar free. And then I've consumed it. And the next thing you know, my head is hurting. I have to lay down. Why is it? Because I had no contribution to the ingredients, what was put into the food. I just went based on what they told me. And I suffered the consequences. Vody Bachum said it like this. We cannot continue sending our children to Caesar, I would add, to be discipled, yet complain when they come home as Romans. All I'm saying is that before we complain about the status of things, or even complain about what's going on with our own children, we must ask ourselves, have we outsourced the cooking? Because if we've outsourced the cooking, do we have legitimate authority to complain about the ingredients that made up the soup? And think about it in the light of what the scripture says in 1 Timothy 5:8, that if anyone does not provide, especially for the members of his own household, he, she, we have denied the faith. When you outsource, you don't know what's all going into the pot.
Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas overcame bitterness by giving his life to God. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. Justice Clarence Thomas became, in his own words, an angry black man. But one day, after protesting at Harvard during the 60s, he wandered into a church. Thomas asked God to take the anger out of his heart. There he released his bitterness, embraced love, and turned to God's word for guiding principles. Thomas said, "With God's help and grace, I was able to elevate my thoughts beyond my circumstances and self-absorption and set my mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth." Thomas's commitment to God has taken him from a broken family in the segregated South to now the longest serving justice on the United States Supreme Court. And he takes his oath to defend the Constitution seriously. A great legacy indeed. Stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
Walt Disney Children's programming is no longer safe for our children. Disney has announced their first openly gay character in an animated movie. Although her features are otherworldly, Spectre's purpose is very worldly. She's in the movie Onward to help indoctrinate our kids with the LGBTQ agenda. She's actually not their first gay character, but now Disney has traded its subtlety for intentionality. Sign our petition letting Disney know your family won't be watching Onward at afa.net.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. But there is hope and healing from an abortion. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. 866-482-LIFE.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The Bible says God made mankind male and female, two but only two sexes, nothing in between, nothing on either side. And science agrees. Two prominent biologists from Penn State and the University of Manchester in England write in the Wall Street Journal, quote, "Biologists and medical professionals need to stand up for the empirical reality of biological sex because the denial of biological sex is at odds with the scientific understanding of human sexuality. No third type of sex cells exists in humans, they say, and therefore there is no sex spectrum or additional sexes beyond male and female. Sex is binary," end quote. Says another biologist, "A male on the day of his conception will remain a male on the day of his death. The Bible told us that 3,500 years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, do not doubt this book."
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. Speaking about training up our young people, if you are in the Shannon, Mississippi area, or if you're willing to come to the Shannon, Mississippi area, you are invited to Old Union Baptist Church's Jesus Fest, which is a youth worship service. I didn't give this address yesterday, but I should. The address to the church is 113 County Road 455, Shannon, Mississippi, zip code 38868. I was told by Pastor Matthew Ellis at Old Union Baptist Church that you are welcome to bring your youth groups to this event. It's free of charge. It's no cost. But if you're going to bring your youth group, he's asking that you call him to let him know so they can have enough food for your group. The number to call is 662-891-0782. That number again is 662-891-0782. Food and fellowship will begin at 6 p.m. and the worship service will begin at 7 p.m. And this will be Friday, this Friday, March 13th, 2020. Another announcement. June 25th through the 27th, the American Family Association is hosting its third Marriage, Family, and Life Conference. This is, man, I'm telling you, I've been a part of the first two conferences. They've been life-changing, honestly. Just absolutely life-changing. There is an early bird registration discount if you register by April 1st. If you register by April 1st, you can take advantage of the early bird registration. There will be speakers including Dr. Frank Turek, Dr. Michael Brown, Dr. Alex McFarland, Bishop E.W. Jackson, Miki Addison, as well as myself. I will be speaking at the conference. And one of the unique features at the conference is that it includes a youth apologetics track. The desire, the goal behind this is that this will truly be a family conference. I have long advocated and continue to advocate that every church in this day and age needs to have a robust apologetics and biblical worldview formation ministry. Our hope and our goal with offering a youth apologetics track is to introduce to some who may be unfamiliar with the discipline of apologetics or to bolster those who are familiar with it, but to bolster your ability to communicate a defense of the Christian faith to young people. So a youth apologetics track. So it includes children all the way up to age 17. Well, they will be, and listen, we don't believe in the apple juice and graham crackers. So we are endeavoring to give your children meat. And one of the things that I know Dr. Alex McFarland will be presenting during the youth apologetics track is why you can believe the Bible. Why is the Bible true? I know that's a question that many of you parents have been asked. Well, if you'd like to help get an answer to that question, you should come to the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference. June 25th through the 27th is when the conference will take place. To register, you need to go to marriagefamilylife.net. Let me make sure I got the right website. marriagefamilylife.net. Yes, and you can register right there. You do not want to miss it. All right. I know a lot of people want to talk about what's going on politically, but I'm going to put a pause on that because I've been ringing a certain bell for a little bit of time here, and this Chinese Wuhan coronavirus has just highlighted something that I've been endeavoring to appeal to the listening audience to sternly and vigorously consider. And as I was preparing for the show, for today's show, I came across some video where I think of Tucker Carlson is what I'm talking about, where he was spot on with a couple comments. So to begin, I want to start with audio from Tucker Carlson and his clip number 7.
China took control of our healthcare system. China dominates the world market in pharmaceutical ingredients. Compounds used in virtually every essential medicine for high blood pressure, for cancer, for Alzheimer's disease, and many more come from China. So to key components in vital medical technology, CT scanners, X-ray machines, ultrasounds. As of tonight, more than 95% of all the antibiotics in America are manufactured in communist China. 95%. Our chief global rival has a total monopoly on the most important medicine in the world. That should worry you more than anything the candidates are currently talking about. Imagine watching one of your children die from an infected cut. China has the power to make that happen. The Chinese government is acutely aware of this power. Last year, a prominent Chinese economist suggested cutting off the supply of antibiotics to the United States as leverage in the trade war. That should have been the biggest story in America. The news media all but ignored it. Why? Because it implicated them and their political party in one of the greatest crimes of our time.
Mm-hmm. Now, think about this, folks. And I'm not advocating for any, you know, whacked out theories or anything like that, but the Chinese Wuhan coronavirus originated in Wuhan, China. Mm-hmm. We got that. But over 95%, as you heard, and I tweeted about this and posted a little bit about this on my social media pages, over 95% of American antibiotics are manufactured in China. Now, the thing that I have been warning and warning and warning about is, and I'm not even going into whether or not the coronavirus is intentional. I'm not even talking about that. What I am talking about is why would we, as a sovereign nation, allow one of our chief global rivals to have such a dominant foothold in such a vital industry in America as medicine, biomedical production, and pharmaceuticals? as a result of the Chinese Wuhan coronavirus, the United States Food and Drug Administration is now, quote, monitoring the supply chains of 20 different drugs. That sounds like a lot of governmental gobbledygook. What does that mean? I'll tell you. Because the Wuhan Chinese coronavirus comes from China, these all 20 of these drug supply chains, they come from China. Now, here's where I get upset. Because before you think, isn't that a coinkydink? No, family, it's not a coinkydink. I've told you before that Xi Jinping, 2 years ago, no, it is 3 years ago now, laid out in a 2.5 to 3 hour speech, in Mandarin, of course, laid out his vision, and this took place when they changed China's Communist Party rules to allow Xi Jinping to basically remain in power forever. They did that. While they were doing that, Xi Jinping laid out a speech that is in writing. He read this speech that laid out his plan to establish China as the dominant global superpower by the year 2050. Included in the laying out of the plan for China to be the global dominant superpower by 2050, they had a caveat plan called Made in China 2025. Isn't that cute? What was the Made in China 2025 plan? It was Xi Jinping's plan, adopted by the Communist Party of China, to have nearly every good manufactured in the world to be made in China. Oh, yeah. Woo! How does that feel? Now, and I've said before, I believe the media is being quite a bit alarmist with this coronavirus situation. And I've said before, I'm not saying dismiss it. I don't think it needs to be dismissed, but you don't need to live in fear. But isn't it amazing that just at this thing is happening, and where a lot of the medicines that we are producing, they're being produced in the very same country where the virus comes from? Are you comfortable with that? This is utterly ridiculous. And I've hopped on my soapbox that when under President Bill Clinton, when the United States established permanent normal trade relations with China, it was done under the premise that, the only thing that's needed in order to cause China not to be a whacked out, crazy communist republic seat bent on destroying the world was invite them to the world economic markets. And then we'll have a softer, kinder, gentler China. In fact, B. Hussein Obama, he echoed those same sentiments as recently as 2011. Listen to this, clip number 8.
I absolutely believe that China's peaceful rise is good for the world, and it's good for America. To the extent that we have a partner in addressing issues like climate change or pandemic.
Oh, so you mean to tell me Barack Tupac Hussein Obama connected China to a pandemic, but just in the wrong direction? See, he thought it would be great for the rise of China for the world. When you had, this was last year, you had a Chinese economist, literally, folks, do your own research. Don't just take my word for it. Do your own research, but I'll give you some breadcrumbs. In China's Xinhao News publication, it's their local newspaper, a Chinese economist argued, this was the headline of the article, quote, "Be bold. The world owes China a thank you." That was the title of the article. In the article, the author said that if China imposes restrictions on pharmaceutical exports, the United States will be plunged into the mighty sea of coronavirus. That was a couple weeks ago. I said early last year, I'm going to get something else that happened early last year. That was a couple weeks ago. These people are not playing. They said, listen, I'm going to translate this into Abe's speech. If the U.S. keeps talking smack, let's cut off all their drugs. and then see how they deal with the coronavirus. Fam, that's a threat. That is a threat. And it's not a recent threat. I'll give you another one. Because I know some people think I'm making this stuff up. Last year, this is what I'm talking about from last year. Last year, as, you know, the trade war kind of, the trade kerfuffle between the U.S. and China was heating up, a Chinese economist, I can't believe this, literally argued that China should cut off the continued supply of drugs and pharmaceuticals to the U.S. in an effort to gain more leverage in the trade conversations. So just when you thought, well, maybe it's just a coinkydink that China has our medical drugs and pharmaceutical production, it's a part of, get ready for this, drum roll please, China's Made in China 2025 plan. It was all a part of their plan. While we're around here playing checkers, they're playing chess. They're playing chess. Listen to this, which I thought was insightful from Tucker Carlson, this clip number 9.
The people in charge have no idea what they're doing. And to the extent they do, they're selling us out on purpose. We should have seen this coming. In recent weeks, you've heard a lot about disruption to our so-called supply chains. Think about what that means. It means that thanks to economic changes that made a small group of business moguls incredibly rich, we no longer make the things we need to survive and prosper as a nation. People who hate us and who seek to displace us make those things. And it's not just medicines and x-ray machines. It's computers and phones and robotics and automotive components and machine tools and essential parts for aircraft engines, etc. In fact, apart from fossil fuels, it's almost everything. And now you may have noticed many of our leaders are talking about shutting down our domestic energy sector, the last independent part of the American economy. This is sabotage, and we're about to learn how undermined we've been.
Now, how does that Green New Deal feel for you now? China has been working imperceptibly and incrementally to acquire for itself its grubby communist tentacles into every aspect of American industry and manufacturing. The only thing the U.S. has independently today is fossil fuels, liquid natural gas and oil, and you got Bernie Sanders and his crazy acolytes. And don't misconstrue anything. They may not want Bernie, but they don't have a problem with Bernie's policies. You have these fools running around saying, we need to get rid of the fossil fuel industry. Guess what happens? If that were to happen? You have just ebbed away the last vestige of American independence. Congratulations. Is this ignorance or is this something else? Folks, see, a lot of people get up in arms. Nationalism, nationalism. This is why America First is not only sensible, it's necessary. We have got to start making our own stuff. There was a time in American history that the way you determined whether or not something was quality or not was where was it made. Now, I would challenge you to find something in your house that wasn't made in China. And you mean to tell me, for those who are alarmed by the Chinese Wuhan coronavirus, that you're going to be taking the drugs that come from China? Please. Folks, we have got to wake up. We have got to wake up. This is why I have guests, Gordon Chang and Lieutenant Colonel Palmer and others on the program to say, listen. We've had people who, because of their individualized greed, they have been willing to sacrifice the United States of America as a whole. For a couple coins, they were willing to say, hey, you can transform Made in the USA to Made in wherever you want. And this Wuhan coronavirus creates a backdrop for us to say, whoa. This thing started in China. You expect me to put my confidence in drugs that were made in China? It's time to start making our own stuff at home.
Mm-hmm. Bishop E.W. Jackson.
A lot of people have become convinced that somehow America is an evil nation, a racist nation, an oppressive nation, a sexist nation, blah, 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 blah.
The Awakening.
I say God bless America and thank God for America, because the whole world is a better place because America exists.
Weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
We're all that we claim to be as a nation and more.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Alex McFarland of Exploring the Word.
Peter says, "We have not followed cleverly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty."
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
8 Days of Hope continues to be the hands and feet of Jesus. The ministry is in need of volunteers as they turn their attention to Nashville. Visit 8daysofhope.com to learn how you can help. Here's 8 Days of Hope President Steve Tiber.
We're looking for people who just want to serve others. You know, you don't have to be super gifted. Every disaster gives an opportunity for a believer to share a glimpse of Jesus Christ. On a moment's notice, your life can change. And you don't know what to do, and all of a sudden you get a knock on your door, and there's a dozen volunteers that have come from all over the country, and homeowners usually, they just start to weep. They're so blown away that volunteers they don't even know would come to their house to help them. That's the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
Volunteers must be 18 years or older. Food and lodging are provided. Be a part of helping tornado victims in Nashville. Learn more or sign up at 8daysofhope.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My name is Dr. Andrew Fabich, and I teach microbiology here at Drew McConnell University. And so instead of trying to teach biology from this perspective that gives you this goo-to-you version of evolution, you get this perspective of this is who God is, this is who God has revealed himself to be, and he's revealed himself in nature, which is terribly exciting to study.
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. The Wheeling City Council in West Virginia has decided to appease a bunch of out-of-town atheists by replacing its traditional prayer with a secular invocation. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, a Wisconsin-based group of atheists, accused the council of excluding the non-religious by offering prayers to the Almighty. And they say the best solution is to discontinue invocations altogether. Instead of contacting First Liberty Institute or Alliance Defending Freedom, the town leaders capitulated. Mayor Glenn Elliott told the local newspaper their intent was not to run afoul of the First Amendment. Well, had the mayor bothered to read the First Amendment, he would have discovered that freedom of religion is the law of the land, not freedom from religion. But instead of doing that, the city decided to eliminate the prayer to God and instead offer a secular prayer. I have no idea what that means, but for what it's worth, that secular invocation doesn't have a prayer. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Quarter Podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. We will open the phone lines this segment, so the number to call if you want to join the party is 888-589-8840. The number again to call is 888-589-8840. What we're talking about, first we began in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Simple communication, but it's a hard truth. I don't know its things, too. I was telling Jeff, sometimes I feel bad even saying these things. But Jeff said, but isn't that what watchmen do? You know. But the Bible is explicit about the responsibility of caring for our own households. And we don't care for our own households to the exclusion of everything and everyone else. But we must, as we attend to all these matters, we especially, as the Bible says, must provide for those within our own household. And there are implications for natural provision. But I would submit to you that the most needful provision is spiritual. More than my child needs a new pair of shoes, he needs Jesus. More than my daughter needs a new dress, she needs Jesus, man. It doesn't mean she doesn't need clothes. Of course she does. But she needs Jesus more than anything else, man. More than anything else. And then secondarily, the second topic of conversation is that in light of the plethora of verbiage being shared about the Chinese Wuhan coronavirus, do you realize that China has a foothold in our medical products and our pharmaceutical production? Over 95% of all of American antibiotics are manufactured in China. I think the current conversations about the Wuhan virus gives a great opportunity to say, it's about time we start making stuff in America again. And this is what I believe the president was attempting to assert when he said it's time to put America first. You know, the globalists, you have a few that, because they're getting their pockets enriched, they're willing to just sell the rest of the country down the drain. I've been pounding that the behemoth that China has become has been financed by the American people. It's time to shut down the globalist cabal and say, listen, we're not going to allow the future of the United States of America to be held in abeyance by people who mean her no good. All right. And now we'll get to a little political commentary. Joe Biden beat the brakes off Bernie Sanders again. 4 out of the 6 states that had elections yesterday, Joe Biden won. Bernie Sanders was holding out hope for Michigan, lost there too. And afterwards, there were scores of Democrat talking heads who were calling for Bernie Sanders to pack it in. Listen, we'll first go to James Carville, clip number 3.
Remember, this is all about November. These voters want to shut this thing down. I mean, you can just look all across the spectrum of the Democratic Party and people are saying, we made our decision. This is who we're going with. And Senator Sanders may not break threshold in Mississippi. He's at 15.3 right now. And we got to acknowledge that he created a movement. He did some truly remarkable things in American politics. And certainly Vice President Biden, we've got to talk to him and discuss this. But we can't diss these Democratic voters who are just coming out in every corner of this country saying, let's get on with this thing. Now, our mission as a party is to defeat Donald Trump. According to 538, there's a 99-1 chance Vice President Biden is going to be the nominee. Let's shut this puppy down and let's move on and worry about November. This thing is decided. There's no reason to keep it going, but not even a day longer.
That's amazing. Let's shut this puppy down. Now, in case you don't know, the race for the Democrat nomination for the presidency requires a candidate to get 1,991 delegates on the first ballot at the DNC convention. As it stands now, Joe Biden has 861 delegates. Bernie Sanders has 710. There's 151 delegates separating them. But James Carville, shut this puppy down. Shut it down. It's over. Shut it down. No more primary. James Clyburn, the one who has been credited with culling all of the votes in South Carolina to Joe Biden's favor, he took it to another notch. James Clyburn said, no more debates. Clip number 2.
I think we will be at a point where Joe Biden will be the prohibitive nominee of the party. And I think the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, should then step in, make an assessment, and determine whether or not they ought to have any more debates.
No more debates. No more debates. Goodness gracious. I thought these people loved democracy so much. It's only 151 delegates separating the two. I mean, you have huge races coming up. You have Florida coming up next Tuesday. There are 219 delegates at stake in Florida. Then you have 155 delegates in Illinois. Both of those states will be voting on the same day. I mean, you saw how quick things changed towards Biden. They could. What's really going on here? I'm going to tell you what's going on. They know that you know that they know that you know that they know that you know that Joe Biden's elevator doesn't go all the way up to the top floor anymore. They want to tuck and run. They want to tuck and run. They don't want Joe to be exposed anymore, cursing out construction workers at plants in Michigan. They don't want anybody else to see Joe Biden. I'm Joe Biden, and I'm running for the United States Senate. They don't want you to see any more Joe Biden confusing his wife with his sister. They're trying to hide him. And so today, Bernie Sanders called a press conference at about noon, and many in the punditry world thought, oh, Bernie's going to throw in the towel. But Mr. Get Off My Lawn had something else for him. Listen to what Bernie said today in clip number one.
While our campaign has won the ideological debate, we are losing the debate over electability. I cannot tell you how many people our campaign has spoken to who have said, and I quote, I agree with what your campaign stands for, but I'm going to vote for Joe Biden because I think Joe is the best candidate to defeat Donald Trump. End of quote. We have heard that statement all over this country. Needless to say, I strongly disagree with that assertion. But that is what millions of Democrats and independents today believe. Donald Trump must be defeated, and I will do everything in my power to make that happen. On Sunday night, in the first one-on-one debate of this campaign, the American people will have the opportunity to see which candidate is best positioned to accomplish that goal.
Now, what does all of that mean? One couple things I want to point out, then we're going to get to the phone lines. One, you heard Bernie Sanders say, we've won the ideological debate. Can you argue with him there? Barack Obama, he's not a socialist. 2020, we're all socialists. I'm telling you, don't you think for one moment, because that the Democrat Party primary voters are rejecting Bernie Sanders, that they are rejecting his ideas. Do not confuse those two. That's something I want you to consider. Secondarily, what Bernie Sanders is saying, oh yeah, we'll see who dropped out of the race because I'm going to wallop this man Sunday in the debate. I'm going to expose Joe Biden as being unelectable because right now, primary voters, they like my ideas. They just think that Joe Biden is more electable than me. Well, guess what? I'm going to show you Sunday night because this will be the first time Joe Biden would have to debate one-on-one. See, in prior debates, Joe Biden could just kind of hang back. Oh, let Elizabeth Warren, let Hiawatha go at Bloomberg. Amy Klobuchar shake her bang a little bit longer. Let Andrew Yang promise another $1,000 for every. Let them go. And then he just hops in. Hey, I'm Joe. Now he's going one-on-one. So Bernie Sanders is putting it all online and saying that he thinks he will be able to outlast Joe Biden in a 2 to 2.5 hour debate. Because if you notice, Joe Biden's speeches, kind of short. They're kind of short. He won't be able to hide out in one-on-one, so we'll see what happens. But I think if there's not an immediate turnaround and Joe Biden continues to wallop Bernie Sanders at the ballot box after next week, I think it may be over for Bernie next week. But we'll see. We'll see. I have more to say, but let's get to the phone lines. I promised I would. We'll start in Texas where Naomi is on the line. Naomi, welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Thank you for calling.
Hello, dear. You're the best. You're absolutely the best. My problem is that not enough people are listening to you. Oh. There's a lot of people my age. Well, this wasn't what I was going to say, but I'll say it. That are my age right now that need to be worrying about where their drugs are coming from. The majority of mine are coming from China. What's going to happen when all of a sudden China decides that they can kill off a bunch of us? So they either stop giving us the drugs or they put something in them that's going to kill us. That's number one. Number two is this Bernie business. Bernie is from the state of Vermont. The state of Vermont is obviously communist. A lot of you out there don't know that socialist is a communist. You need to read, read, read. The kids in school cannot tell you when the Second World War was. I saw that about 8 months ago when they were interviewing the graduates in New York. Mm. They didn't even know when the Second World War was. Mm. What are they teaching our children in school?
Great question, Naomi. Great question. Now, I don't know if the entire state of Vermont is communist, but they certainly got a communist-loving U.S. senator who goes to the mat for people like Fidel Castro. I wonder how that's going to play in the Florida primary coming up here in a few spells. I have more to say, Naomi, but I'm gonna try to get some more calls in. Let's go next to Illinois, where Nadia is on the line. Nadia, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program. You guys will be voting next Tuesday in the primary, right?
All right, wonderful. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to say a little something. In history, in the colonial times, the schools were, the U.S. government used the schools for re-education of Native Americans. And I don't have a problem with white people. I am white. I'm a Romanian. I come straight from Europe. So I don't have a problem with Europeans at all. It's real interesting how in today's times, the public school is the re-education camps. They're re-educating American kids to think like socialists and communists.
Mm. And you know, to Nadia's point, I don't know how many people saw James O'Keefe's videos of Bernie Sanders' campaign staffers. And Bernie didn't even fire the guy. The guy was caught on video literally saying that Trump supporters would need to be rounded up and re-educated. Wow. That is, wow. How do you spin that one, you know? And we know what you think. We know how you feel about the American public, but you say you want to re-educate. Now, I thought this is United States of America. Well, you could have a difference of opinion. Freedom of speech, freedom, that whole deal. But no, these people don't believe in freedom. I'll try to get one more caller in. We'll go to Virginia, where David is on the line. Virginia, I'm sorry, David. Thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program. Are you there, David? Oh, I'm sorry. I guess we lost David. Well, additional news in the last few moments. Some of you might have seen this already. Harvey Weinstein was sentenced today to a total of 23 years in prison. He was convicted on two counts. Of all of the counts that were filed against him, he was only convicted on two counts. One count of third-degree rape and convicted of a first-degree criminal sexual act. The third degree case carried with it a maximum of 4 years. The judge gave Weinstein 3 years for that. The first degree criminal sexual act carried with it a maximum of 25 years in prison, and the judge gave Weinstein 20 of that 25. Now, here's the thing. As a prosecutor, you rarely see this. The judge did what we call stacking the sentences. He made them run consecutively. So that means that Harvey would have to serve the 20-year sentence first. Then after that one is done, then you serve the 3 years. Then after that, he was also given a 10-year sentence of supervised release post-prison.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.